You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We're leading you into the divisional round weekend here on Locked On Cardinals, which used to be the most exciting, the premier weekend of NFL football, but last week might have taken that over by adding an extra game. We had six games last weekend, four games this weekend. It's Locked On Cardinals, your host, Bo Brock, Alex Clancy. Give us a follow on Twitter, at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Rack. Alex, for your money, what's the best weekend to watch NFL football?
Oh, man. Wild card, just because there's the most amount of games?
Right, and that's new this year, right? I mean, previously to that, super wild card. It's a wild card on steroids. You get an extra game. You get a couple teams that kind of snuck into the playoffs. But it's quality versus quantity, right? You've got this weekend where you've got arguably the eight best teams in football, or you've got last weekend where you could kind of see some crazy games, some crazy upsets like the Cleveland Browns just routing the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think I'll take divisional round. I'll stay with that. I've pretty much seen it the bulk of my life and known that this weekend was the best weekend to watch football. And we don't fall short this weekend. We're going to actually look into the spreads of this weekend's game because the Arizona Cardinals are at home. We're going to take a look at betonline.ag's spreads and hopefully give you some smart bets to make over the weekend. But yesterday, some massive stories hit the NFL that did not involve the playoffs. It was actually the two top coaching candidates found work, and ironically, they're going to 2020's worst teams. Urban Meyer finally decides to make the jump to the pro level with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, highly coveted DC from San Francisco 49ers, he's going to the dumpster fire that is the New York Jets. Alex, right off the bat, I think it's a relief for Arizona Cardinals fans to see Robert Saleh exit the NFC West and go far away, not only out of the conference, but he goes from San Francisco to New York.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, their talent's still going to be there. Their defense is going to be eons better than it was when the Cardinals saw them in week 16 because Nick Bosa is going to be back. They're going to be healthier. And listen, the guys, the young, and I know Kyle Shanahan's much maligned too, and I agree. I mean, he's had said one winning season over his tenure there, but those guys just bring in good coaches. Sean McVay, the same thing. We may not know their names, but what they do is they turn into great coaches and then they go take head coaching jobs elsewhere. Robert Saleh, I could have been a good defensive coordinator for that defense last year. Like, he's more of an overblown name and we'll find out soon with the Jets, where they need help on offense. They hire a defensive-minded head coach. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Sam Darnold and the progression of him over there. But, yeah, I mean, having a defense have to start over with a new scheme in your division is always good news. It's always good news because there's going to be a learning curve. It may not work. And what we do know is that Robert Saleh's defensive scheme worked with the personnel that they had. And they have a very, very good defense, a very good front, the 49ers do. And that's not going to change with Robert Saleh gone. So, yeah, it's fine. But we'll see what the new age version of the 49ers defense is going to be with the new defensive coordinator.
I thought the week 16 loss to San Francisco, Robert Saleh was on display. That defense was playing inspired football, a bunch of no-name guys because they were ravaged by so many injuries. I mean, as far as the impact of the game went, I thought it was Robert Saleh, Cliff Kingsbury losing that battle, number two, and then Kyle Shanahan, at third, as far as like which coaches had the most impact on that game. Cardinals, in their, high-powered offense, it wasn't. They only mustered 12 points against Robert Saleh. And you make a great point. It's going to be a very highly coveted position. Like the defensive coordinator position for the 49ers, very rarely do those spots open up. Usually vacancies are created by guys being fired, not taking, head coaching positions, especially on the defensive side of the football. You know, to the opportunity to go coach Nick Bosa, Javon Kinlaw, all those first-round picks that are invested in that front seven, obviously you've got the Fred Warner at the linebacker position, kind of a coach on the field. Your job becomes very easy to where you can kind of just roll the football out onto the field, and those guys are going to make an impact. But for the Arizona Cardinals, I just think that when you look at what's happened so far within this division, as far as coaches go, that it's, as the Cardinals remain idle, the only move they've made is firing their wide receivers coach, that it's trending in a good direction for them. I mean, it was you know, Schottenheimer, who had a lot of success in calling plays against the Cardinals in their defense, and you know, the Seahawks have decided to part ways with him. And then Saleh, who had obviously his defense have success the last two seasons against the Arizona Cardinals. I think that's just a positive that those guys are headed out the door.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very, very fresh and it's very new, and we won't know for a long time what's going to happen. But you're right. I mean, what you've talked about, I agree with. I mean, it is just kind of a wait and see and hope for the Cardinals. I mean, that's really where we're at right now.
Right. And I mean, when we talk about Seattle, this was kind of I was never a big believer in Brian Schottenheimer. I mean, we saw him a couple years ago. He was on Hard Knocks with Rex Ryan. He was the offensive coordinator for that Jets team and Mark Sanchez that somehow made it to back-to-back AFC Conference Championship games and then just kind of fell off a cliff. He had a cup of coffee in a couple other spots, and then you know, it was a pretty controversial hire for the Seahawks, and you know, they had one of the top offenses in the league still this year, but the Seahawks saw that they had kind of a ceiling with Schottenheimer, and we've seen the comments from Russell Wilson talk about how he wants to be involved in the hiring of the OC going forward. You know, there are a couple people that they've bandied about of who could be the next OC there, and is Anthony Lynn a legitimate candidate for the Seahawks?
He's visiting there to talk and to speak with them. And the reason why I brought it up, we talked about it before the podcast, like Anthony Lynn, for all intents and purposes, like what Vance Joseph was for the DBs when he was a DB coach and then defensive coordinator for a year before taking over as head coach of the Broncos, Anthony Lynn is a running back guy. He's good at building running back schemes. And what the Seahawks were at their best was a run-first offense throughout the tenure of Russell Wilson. He has the ability to keep them in games throwing the ball. Obviously, we know that. I mean, he's got one of the biggest arms in the league, and we saw the first 6 or 7 weeks of this year that if they have no run game, he can win some games for them. But a run-first offense for the history of the NFL is how you win. If you don't have a run game, you don't win Super Bowls. And if you can bring a guy in, they have Chris Carson, they have 48 running backs there. And if you can bring Anthony Lynn in there to run the offense and have it be run first, I think that'd be a great fit in Seattle.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, when you've got Russell Wilson, and I know that he kind of fell off a cliff as far as, you know, he was an MVP candidate early in 2020, and then he didn't play that caliber of football the rest of the way out, and it ended up being in the Seahawks' demise. But if you're going to bring in a guy that's going to take the ball potentially out of Russell Wilson's hands, take it away from that passing attack, and also as far as what we saw down the stretch as he was the head coach for the Chargers, I'll embrace the Seahawks bringing in Anthony Lynn. I don't think that that's a solid move. If you want to go against the grain, against the trend of a passing league and be a run-first offense and take the ball out of your quarterback's hands, and that quarterback being Russell Wilson, I'm all for it. I think that works in the favor of the Arizona Cardinals. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the offense looked pretty good in I'm not saying that he's just a run guy. I mean, the offense looked pretty good with the Chargers this year with a quarterback like Justin Herbert. Sure. Russell Wilson has the skill set, you know, of Justin Herbert in some capacity. You know, they both have big arms. They both have, skill position guys on the outside. I just think Anthony Lynn is a very capable offensive coordinator. I mean, or would be a very capable offensive coordinator.
I mean, we've only seen like a cup of coffee as far as that's concerned. So Anthony Lynn, one of the guys that could be going to Seattle as their next offensive coordinator. We'll see what happens there, of course. Keep tabs on Locked On Seahawks, Locked On 49ers for the moves that they're going to make as far as those coordinators' position. The Arizona Cardinals have a huge offseason as far as trying to upgrade their roster. We ask you, which area should the team be more aggressive in? Free agency or the NFL draft? Look, it could be both. But where do we think the impact's going to be made most? The draft or free agency? We'll answer that question. We'll debate it next. It's Locked On Cardinals. Bo and Alex, give us a follow on Twitter at Bob Rack, at Clancy's Corner, and at Locked On AZ Cards. Our friends at Built Bar were nice enough to gift me a Mix Built Bar box. And I'm dead serious when I say this. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Like, there is no, this is not because Built Bar sent me a free box. It's not because we've been promoting them for over a year now. I legitimately believe Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's not even close. I mean, the other protein bars, they're chalky. They're not good. They don't taste like a candy bar. This Built Bar tastes exactly like a candy bar. They're covered in 100% chocolate, soft, easy to chew. Throw them in the fridge if you want it not to be as soft. But I like them soft. And they're healthy. They're equally as healthy as they are delicious. They're great for the health-conscious person. Lose, maintain weight while indulging in this delicious treat. The bar is low in calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for the keto diet. Right now, go to the website. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and you'll get 20% off your next order by just using that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off BuiltBar.com. Look, get yourself a mixed bar box from Built Bar. You won't regret it. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Promo code LOCKEDON, 20% off Built Bar, 20% off. Some intriguing matchups in the divisional round. We're going to look at some betonline.ag spreads, the totals on these games. I think there's some. I think there might be some easy money to be made. We'll get into the conversation later in the podcast. It's Bo and it's Alex. It's Locked On Cardinals. We've got an interesting offseason ahead of us. It's actually a as far as making the taking the next step in this rebuild, and that's exactly where the Arizona Cardinals are. They're just kind of following this, where they get just incrementally better each and every season. The next step would be to go from, you know, a 500 team after being sub 500 to over 500. And it would be, you know, anywhere between 9 and 10 wins. That's what the expectations are now for this Cardinals team after they went 8-8 this season. Is that fair to say, Alex, or are the expectations higher that they need to go from 8-8 to, you know, 11 to 12 wins?
Definitely not 11 to 12 wins. I mean, we just need to, unfortunately, we need to look at the coaching staff and say, you know what, what's the ceiling for this team with this current coaching staff? And that's the number you're going to have to put together before the season starts next year. You know, it's not, it's going to be like grading on a curve. Even if they add a bunch of good pieces, I'm sure that if they, it really depends on what they do in free agency. Like the draft, they're kind of hamstrung because they only have so much control with who they drafted 16, who they draft in the second round. They don't have a fourth or sixth round pick this year. They have four shots to make this team better through the draft. They have, I mean, not infinite, obviously, but they have a bunch of options that they can go after if the money's right to bring in and bolster the lineup with talent on both sides of the ball. But regarding them winning eight or more games, it's just, it really is grading on a curve with Cliff Kingsbury. It just is.
And that's tough. And then like my counter would be, you know, look at the Cleveland Browns from 2019 to 2020.
Right.
They go, 7-9 last season? They lost to the Cardinals, Kyler Murray. Kyler beats his predecessor in Baker Mayfield. We remember that contest. It was one of the more memorable games of their five wins the previous year. And then Stefanski comes in, and this Browns organization transformed. They go from 7 wins to 11 wins. They're playing in the divisional round. A lot of that goes, you know, the credit goes to Stefanski and what he was able to do. And I mean, everybody will agree that Freddie Kitchens was not up to snuff to be an NFL head coach. I got to imagine that Cliff Kingsbury at least give him a little edge over Freddie Kitchens. But to say he's Kevin Stefanski at this point would be unfair. But I hear what you're saying, too, is to have the expectations that Steve Keim can take, you know, only a few draft picks when he's had a bunch of draft picks previous the last couple seasons and turn them into, you know, to strike gold is unrealistic. I mean, when you look at it in the 2020 draft, your first round pick, and I was looking at the all rookie team, and a guy like Isaiah Simmons didn't even sniff it as far as the top 10 rookies when you look at redrafts, you just don't see Isaiah Simmons anywhere close to where the Arizona Cardinals drafted him at eighth overall. He didn't make near enough an impact for anybody to kind of say, hey, we know that he's going to be the impact player that we thought he was going to be coming out of Clemson. So I really look at that kind of as a redshirt season for Isaiah Simmons. Didn't see nearly enough games where he was over 50% of the snaps played on defense. So you can't say that it was a successful first-round pick with Isaiah Simmons, and I think we're being kind there. You didn't have the second-round pick. You turned that into DeAndre Hopkins. That's a win. But then your next pick, Josh Jones out of Houston, we only saw him in like big packages where he would come in and kind of play the fullback position sometimes. He would be an extra offensive lineman. He was played sparingly. So your top two draft picks did not make an impact. And then the only draft picks that did in the 2020 season were your two fourth rounders who played the defensive line, which was an absolute necessity. Both those guys battled injuries all year long, and Lekki Fotu and Rashard Lawrence. So if you look at 2019, you know, outside of Kyler Murray, Andy Isabella was not an impact maker. Byron Murphy still, you know, you draft him as the top corner or to be the top corner going of the future, and he's not even a guy that's, you know, playing every down as a starting cornerback opposite Patrick Peterson. I think the jury's still out on Byron Murphy. He did some better things in his sophomore campaign. But then Andy Isabella has been inactive a couple times. You released Hakeem Butler. You've got guys like Keyshawn Johnson, who had under 200 yards receiving this year. It's just you're not finding impact makers, and you have the expectation that Steve Keim can make an impact with limited picks. Like I said, unrealistic.
Yeah, and that's why I don't really understand why people are so up in arms when thinking about trading draft picks of the Cardinals. It's like, hey, if you can trade for a proven entity, that takes the keys from Steve Keim's hand, and you know, you actually get it, makes it easier. It's like, you know what? You don't have to guess, Steve. You're not good at guessing. So let's just try and get a proven entity and alleviate some stress from the situation. But seems that that's not really the case. People still believe in Steve Keim's drafting ability, which is just asinine at this point.
Yeah, it would just be a blind squirrel finding a nut, right? It would be. The Arizona Cardinals are really going to, and when I ask the question, you know, where should they be aggressive in the draft and in free agency, when I mean being aggressive in the draft, that would be trading up for what you feel is a can't-miss prospect, acquiring more picks, being aggressive that way, and infusing more young talent onto this roster. But you're right. I think that as far as going out there and getting proven guys, as far as, you know, go out, get one of these wide receivers, you know, it might be a pipe dream to think, hey, they could sign Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson, Kenny Golladay, Juju Smith-Schuster to a big money deal, but you know, that might be a better, it's kind of daunting to see them get all of that guaranteed money that they're going to command. But, you know, we haven't seen anything really work otherwise.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's they don't have a lot of money to spend. There's going to be people that are going to be able, there are going to be teams that are going to be able to outspend them. This is the same situation over and over and over again. I mean, we could pretty much say verbatim before the season, you know, when the season ended last year, what we're saying now. You know, it's Steve Keim is not good at salary cap management. He's not good at finding talent in drafts, and he's not good in free agency. Like, that's it. I mean, it's not a negative take. It's the truth. Yes, they traded for DeAndre Hopkins. Fantastic. They drafted Kyler Murray unopposed. And I could probably say the top five teams that drafted that year wouldn't have taken Kyler Murray. So it's not, I said from the end of the 2018 season through last offseason that Steve Keim was a top 10 GM in the NFL. And I believe that still. That was an 18-month to 2-year span where Steve Keim has done everything that you want your GM to do. Drafting Isaiah Simmons didn't really work out so well. But when you look at that, aside from that little span, Steve Keim is inept. He's inept in the draft. He's inept in free agency. He's inept in signing guys to the correct money amount that will set the team up for success in the future. He let Calais Campbell walk. He said, you know what? It's not worth the $30 million. Calais Campbell gone. Would you rather have Calais Campbell or Jordan Phillips for the same money? Like, it doesn't compute how he's still the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. It just doesn't. And we're starting, like, every so often it's like, oh, things are going well, but wait, Steve Kime doesn't know what he's doing. So even if they have, it's like giving a center who doesn't take 3-point shots a wide open three to win the game. It's like, yeah, you have the opportunity, but the chance of you, effectively taking care of business is almost null and void. And that's where we are right now. And that's where we've been for the better part of a decade.
Yeah, and according to Over the Cap, the Cardinals have just under $25 million in cap space. The salary cap expected to go down following COVID-19, the impact of the pandemic. Cardinals 32 players from last season under contract. Effectively, their cap space could be just around $13 million. Now, they have some options as far as freeing up some money. You've got Justin Pugh on a guy that his contract becomes less guaranteed dollars in dead cap money. You're not going to see that. If they cut ties with Justin Pugh, who has a big number, you could save some cash there. The expectation to sign Larry Fitzgerald to a lucrative deal, I think everybody is in agreement that that should no longer be a thing in the 2021 offseason. I mean, you hope that potentially Fitz comes back, but you don't want him to kind of dangle that carrot in front of Steve Keim to kind of do it again, because we saw what the impact was of Larry Fitzgerald at 37. And look, it trumps anything else a 37-year-old receiver's done before, but still, the Arizona Cardinals need to get younger at that position. They need to find a playmaker opposite Nick Hopkins, and it's going to take them getting creative as far as freeing up cap space and bringing in infusing talent on this roster. So we'll see what they're going to do. If this is a pivotal offseason for the Arizona Cardinals. It's not just going to be – it's easy to say, hey, we're going to improve on wins when you won only 3 in 2018. Hey, it's going to be easy. We're going to improve when you only won 5 the previous season. Now you're at 8. Now it's going to be tough to really take that next step. And it really shows on and puts your decision maker as far as your roster, your player personnel is concerned, under a microscope. And we saw it with Cliff Kingsbury as far as playmaking down the stretch. Now we're going to see it with Steve Keim. Now when it really means where it's really necessary to bring in talent and put it around Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins and Buda Baker, your stars, what kind of GM he really is. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. There's a team in the NFC West that's playing on Saturday in the divisional round. Do we like the Rams as road dogs against the Packers? We like any of the games coming up this weekend. We'll take a look at the divisional round. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are going to break down the biggest games of the divisional round weekend where we think you can make some money. Rams, 6.5, Bucks on the road, but no raucous Mercedes-Benz Dome crowd. Could Tom Brady and the Bucks have the edge? Former Cardinals coach Bruce Arians, of course, calling the shots. We're ready for some football this weekend. We've got one place that has you covered and one place we trust to put down where you think the smart money is. BetOnline.ag. Sign up for a free account today at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, for your 50% welcome bonus. That means if you put in $50, you're going to get $25 just for free to play around with. You want to put in $100, you get $50 to play around with for free. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the action and don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online. Look, if you go online, you like the Bucks as underdogs, and you put in $50, you don't even have to spend that $50 right away. You can use your 25% welcome bonus, and you're betting for free this weekend. It's Bet Online, your free online sportsbook experts. It's the final segment here on Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'll get back into the conversation next week. We'll start looking at guys who could be cap casualties, who are on this roster this season that we don't expect to come back in 2021. We'll start to get into that conversation next week. We'll start to shape up who Alex and I believe the Cardinals should target in free agency, start to look at those draft prospects. more in depth. It's been a fun week here. It sucks that the Cardinals aren't playing again this week. You know, it would have been, you know, the way that they played down the stretch to think that they could win in the wild card round was even, you know, a taller tale than even we previously thought. But Cardinals not playing another year in the division around the playoffs. But there is an NFC West team that's playing on the road, historic Lambeau Field. It's Jared Goff going to be playing quarterback for the Rams. John Wolford can't go. Packers, 6.5-point favorites, according to our friends over at betonline.ag. And then you've got the lowest total of the weekend. In back-to-back weeks, it involves the Rams at 45.5. You like any of these bets, Alex?
I love getting the points. I'll take the points with the Rams. I know that it's kind of counterintuitive because, you know, Jared Goff hasn't been good, obviously. I mean, that's kind of an understatement. The defense has been very good, and the Achilles heel of Aaron Rodgers is when he plays really good defenses, which, you know, is the Achilles heel of any quarterback. But specifically, defenses that hit hard, that rush the passer hard, and there's nobody that does it better in the NFL than Aaron Donald. And I think that this is going to be an ugly game. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a little bit exposed here, and he's going to remind people to why I don't think that he's a top three quarterback of all time like some do. When he gets smacked in the face, he doesn't like it very much. And I think that the Rams are going to smack him in the face. And I don't know if the Rams are going to win outright, but I'd happily take those 6.5 points.
And I actually kind of like the over in this contest. You saw the lowest total last weekend, and they hit that fairly easily. You had 50 points scored between Seattle and the Rams. You like the Packers' offense maybe a little bit better than the Seahawks going into this contest. Jared Goff, the biggest question is that surgically repaired thumb. How is it going to react to playing in cold temperatures? We'll see. I mean, it didn't make that big of a deal last week playing in Seattle. Now, the other game here, and I know you love to talk about your boy Lamar Jackson. Once again, road dogs going into Buffalo, taking on Josh Allen and that squad. Looks like it's going to be pretty cold, potentially snowing in rough Buff. Ravens, 2.5-point dogs, according to betonline.ag. The total, just under 50 at 49.5.
I'll take the under here. This is, like, 2.5 points. You are a silly goose if you think that you know one way or the other which this game is going to go point spread-wise. I mean, it's I'm surprised. Like, if this were on a neutral field, it'd be a pick 'em, because this is just – the Ravens are the hottest team in football, and the Bills don't have a running game. So if Josh Allen gets bottled up by this defense, what are they going to do? He may have to throw the ball 55 times this game for them to win. Now, Lamar Jackson, his shortcomings aside, I feel like the Buffalo Bills defense, they're going to have to figure out a way. Sean McDermott is a borderline genius defensive mind. So it's really stop Lamar and get a W. And it's obviously easier said than done. Nobody can do it ever. So it's not to say that it can be done, but if you can hedge his performances, if you can hedge his numbers somehow, it's going to be slowing the game down. You don't want to get into some sort of shootout here, because with the secondary that the Baltimore Ravens have, Josh Allen is still a turnover waiting to happen. He's not an active volcano at this point. He's never going to be extinct. Let's just say he's dormant. Let's go back to sixth grade science here. He's a dormant volcano waiting to erupt with turnovers. So you don't want him to throw the ball that many times. That's why I think this game is going to be a little bit lower scoring than people think. I think it's going to be in the low 20s, but I have no idea who the hell is going to win.
Right. And it's a pair of 2018 quarterbacks who have played, you know, above and beyond what people predicted when they were drafted in that year in the first round, both Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. And whoever the loser is of this game is going to be labeled a guy who can't win the big game. We'll see who it is. We'll see if it's Josh Allen. We'll see if it's Lamar Jackson. I like the matchup. If it's Josh Allen throwing to Stephon Diggs against Marcus Peters, I know Peters came up with a big interception the previous week, but I kind of like that matchup for the Bills in this contest. A couple more games. Browns, 10-point dogs on the road against the Kansas City Chiefs. Can that run game Can they keep it tight enough to where you like those 10 points? And then we look at this over-under, 57.5. The two starting quarterbacks in this contest, Alex, they once played in a Big 12 game where they accounted for 14 total touchdowns, over 1,200 yards passing, and over, I think, 125 points scored. That was Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, the 10 points is intriguing here.
Yeah.
Because if the... You know that the Chiefs can put up, you know, a 14-0 lead in 2.5 minutes. Three and out, score, you know, whatever. Score, three and out, score. I mean, Cleveland's obviously going to have to run the ball effectively, as you mentioned, for this game to be anywhere near close. I like the under again. Like, you look at – this is one where you can watch anywhere, and I'm sure – and I don't know this for sure, but, I mean, you can watch and say, you know – the public loves the over, but the sharp bettors are taking the under. This line jumped a couple points since its opening when the lines came out initially. So people love because they want to see super high scoring. And listen, if it gets out of hand, there may be a backdoor cover here for the over. But I think it's 57 points is a lot.
Yeah.
57 points is a lot of points. And if Cleveland's smart, like they are with Kevin Stefanski, they're going to run this clock, and the best defense you can have against Patrick Mahomes is keeping him off the field. And when Patrick Mahomes, like any quarterback, is off the field for a while, you know, you get stiff, it's not going to be warm. That's the perfect situation for Cleveland to not only, you know, stay close, but to hit the under. I like the under here.
It's kind of fun looking at these spreads, according to betonline.ag, last one of the weekend, and it might be your biggest chance for a road dog to win. Might even take the money line, even though the odds, you probably take the points here. Tampa Bay, 3-point underdogs to the New Orleans Saints. Mercedes-Benz Dome in New Orleans, but it's not going to have that raucous crowd this time around. There's the old cliche as well, Alex, that it's tough to beat a team three times in one season. Saints, Bucks, which one you like?
Bucks. Bucks. Like, I don't... Has Tom Brady stopped being Tom Brady?
What do you mean?
Has he?
No. Yeah. No, he hasn't. He's still the GOAT.
Go ahead.
He's playing great. He's playing great football. Yeah. And, I mean, it's not the Washington football team this weekend, but it is, you know, it's a tougher matchup. But I really like the way the Bucks are playing. I did mention, like, the tough to beat a team three times in a row, though. And it kind of favors the Saints here. The last 17 games, a home game for the team that won twice before, they're 12-5 in those third games. So that cliche, not necessarily true.
Well, the biggest star for Drew Brees has been the home crowd. His whole career, like, that's, if there's an Achilles heel for Drew Brees, he's not the best road quarterback compared to him playing in front of a packed Superdome. Ain't going to be any fans in there. So this is going to be a situation where I don't know about the over-under at 52. Honestly, I'm not – I have no idea. This could be a 13-9 final, or it could be a shootout. But I trust Tom Brady until you don't trust Tom Brady anymore. This isn't playing with no weapons against Tennessee, who was one of the hottest teams in football last year, had a great defense up front, they had a great running rushing attack. The Saints' defense is very good. They have one of the more overlooked front sevens in football. They have Marshawn Lattimore. Okay, like, I get what they have. Quan Alexander, linebacking core. I get it. I take Tom Brady to outscore Drew Brees. Because Drew Brees is, I mean, saying a shell of himself is a compliment. He is not, after those rib injuries, I'm sure he still has cracked ribs that he's playing with. If they can stop Alvin Kamara, they win this game, and I think they will stop Alvin Kamara and win this game.
As Cardinals fans, we saw Bruce Arians' offense, you know, engineered at a pretty high level with Carson Palmer. Now we're seeing it perfected with Tom Brady. Like, he is playing at such a high level, and he's going to have Brady's the edge in this. And you're right; it's Brady versus Brees. Brees can't throw the ball down the field, and you know, I think that the Bucs win this one. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bruce Arians going back potentially to the NFC Championship game where he took the Cardinals in 2015. Hit us up. What bets do you like this weekend? Tag us on Twitter at Bob Rack, at Clancy's Corner, at BetOnlineAG. Let us know who you like. What are the smart bets this weekend? Like I said, big week of shows headed your way. Next week, we start to really deep dive this offseason. Who could be some cap casualties? Who are some top free agent additions that the Cardinals could bring in? And who are the draft prospects you need to be looking out for come combine time that could be wearing the white-red next season? It's Locked On Cardinals. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll talk to you on Monday.